to start with the mitzvah.
And then we'll get to the mitzvah.
It was smelly yesterday.
There's two parts to this. This is one of the Gemaras that's not to be taken at face value. In order to take the Gemara face value, they need to Hashem to take mitzvahs. There's a person called Mashiach. Yeah. There's a person called Mashiach.
Which Mashiach?
Hashem. Exactly. There's a person called Mashiach. Let's say Mashiach ben David. And Hashem takes the mitzvahs and he puts it on Mashiach like a grindstone and he grinds the mitzvahs. This is one of the Gemaras that to learn that Kipshutei Mamish is not one of the Pshatim. Mashiach is not. Hashem does not take a person called Mashiach, put mitzvahs on him, put it on a grindstone. The Gemara means something.
Where are we? Yosef, where are we?
We got to here.
He went further than the Gemara? He went further than the Gemara?
That's not what happens. Hashem doesn't. Mitzvahs are not a burden, first of all. And you can't put a mitzvah into a grindstone. Okay, that's our challenge. And on the other, the Gemara has a lot of significance, and it means something to us. So on some level, we're going to have to understand it. There's a Gemara Chagiga, okay? So I'm saying, if you want a key to understand the Gemaras like this, if you want a chance, so then you go to other Gemaras that mention similar things, okay? So let's talk about grindstones. But it's not hard for Mashiach to do it. Yeah, Mashiach. It's hard. Let a grindstone grind.
It breaks up kernels and lets you take out the good parts.
Yeah, it does. You're on the right track. This is, you're on the right track. There's a Gemara Chagiga that you days on the days. This is like the time you get a Shkacha Pratis, you open up the Gemara, and it opens up right to the page. It's called a Shkacha Pratis. Mamish, it's a Nisim Shemachal Yamim Marat. I mean, you know that there's seven heavens. Shiva Rakim. The spiritual. Then we say Yalav Yavai? Yalav Yavav Yagiyav Yirev Yiretzav Yizachav Yibakej. Seven expressions. Mm-hmm. We're davening that our tefillah should go from level to level to the seven levels, seven heavens. It's not just one heaven; there's seven heavens. Shiva Rakim. And the Gemara tells you what each one of Rakim. What do you need seven heavens for? One heaven is not enough. What do you need seven heavens for? The Gemara goes through what each Rakia is, what each heaven is. Vilon, Rakia, Shkakim, Zvul, Ma'on, Machon, and Arevas. Okay? That's the Gemara. I don't even dream of knowing at this stage in my life what these things are. The Gemara goes through each one. No idea. If you want, we can go through them. But don't ask me to explain it, because I can't. I can't. She starts with Vilon. Vilon. Vilon doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. And it's there for a purpose, it doesn't do anything. There's a lot of things in creation that they have a purpose, but their purpose is not in doing. They don't do anything. It's there. Al-Nikhna Shachris. It enters It enters in the morning into its... This firmament has like a sack that it goes into. Vilon, I mean, in modern Hebrew, vilon is a curtain. The source for that is this Gemara. Of course, there's a lot of things about modern Hebrew. Vilon is like a curtain. So that means when the curtain is spread, you can't see light. When you fold up the curtain and you put it into its bag, into its satchel, then the light shows. So vilon doesn't do anything, but when vilon, in the morning, shakat, when vilon is put into its satchel, so then you see the light. V'yetzeh harvest, and it comes out at night. So this is the rakia that's responsible for light and darkness. Right? It separates between the light and this world. Mechadish v'chayim ha'isabesis, and by doing this, so every single day we have a renewal, because every morning the world comes alive again. The sun rises and it gets lit up and illuminated. So Vilon is responsible for recreating the world every day. Rakia, that's where the sun, the moon, the stars are there. Shchakim, number three is Shchakim. Shabai Rechaim, that's where the grindstone is. Ah, grindstone. The grindstone is in Shchakim. And it's grinding. You know what it's grinding? Man. It's grinding on man for the tzaddikim. Okay? That's what it does. That's what it's doing right now. It's grinding out. I didn't know this before, but now the Gemara's telling me this. The man, before a tzaddik eats the man, has to be ground. And you need a grindstone to grind out the man. And that grindstone is in the heaven called Shchakim.
What number is it?
It's number three. Zvul, Yerushalayim is there. Beis HaMikdash is there. Mizbeach is there. And Michael is a Malach. Hasar HaGadol, he's the officer on high, he's an angel. I'm in the lack of a love card, and he brings Karbanis. Ma'on, there's groups of Malachim, Malachi Asharis, that they sing out Shira, they sing out songs at nighttime. But during the daytime, they're quiet. Because that's when Klal Yisrael is singing Shira. And they have covered for Klal Yisrael. And during the daytime, they don't sing Shira. Klal Yisrael does. And the Gemara points out that's the value of learning Torah at night. It has a value, a special value. Machon, that's where Hashem has storehouses of snow and hail. And dew. There's all kinds of things in there. A lot of bad things in there. Storms. Snow is like, you know, when Hashem wants to destroy. Hashem will bring a blizzard, a storm. You know, look, the whole New York and Chicago is closed down because of a snowstorm. There's thousands of flights that are canceled. JetBlue canceled, like, I don't know, 100 flights. All the airlines. Storms. There's storms. There's feet of snow. Arevos, that's where you have tzedek and mishpat, righteousness and judgment, and staka and charity. It's the Hashem secrets away, kinder, like the secret of life, and shalom, and bracha, the neshamas of tzaddikim, the ruchais and the neshamas of those that are about to be, they're destined to be born, the dew that Hashem is going to use to bring back the dead. So we're focusing on the third one. Third one is Shkakim. Shkakim is a grindstone. It's a millstone that they grind mantra tzaddikim. Thank you very much.
Why does it have to be ground?
Yeah, why does it have to be ground? What does it mean? What man? The Jews had man in the desert for 40 years. What does it mean that there's man being ground for tzaddikim? Sounds like it's a constant basis. Alright, so you know, I don't understand what
even
that is.
Now.
So let's understand what man is, okay? Man in Bnei Israel in the desert. Man was a physical food. Man didn't had properties that were beyond the physical. Man is called angel bread, angel food cake. It's called lachem abirim, the bread of angels. That's man. But it came down here. I mean, no, angels don't eat physical food, but angels do eat food because everything Hashem created has to be nourished. That's a fake. That's an immutable fact. So angels don't eat, but they eat ruchnis. They don't eat food. And somehow or another, there was a process that something which wasn't physical came into this world and became physical. And the Bnei Israel ate it. And by eating it, they're eating the same thing as Malachim. Not a different, they're eating the same thing as Malachim. But we don't know very much about this process. But there's one insight which I have, you know, one insight which is fairly obvious. Limitations, you know, limits in size, limits in the amount of energy something can convey, and limits in strength, those are all products of this world. This world is the world of limits. Let's push it. Have you ever met something without a limit? Have you ever met anything without a limit? Everything is limited. We have no contact, there's no point of contact between us and something without limits.
Something seems unlimited.
What?
But
it's not.
I know.
You know where things are unlimited? You know where things are unlimited? In the base of Midrash. That's you know the famous dates. Put the Kaddish into the Kaddish Rashi, it doesn't take up space. That defies limits. Basically, this has a lot to do with man, okay? Obviously.
Oh, yeah!
The Kaddish Baruch Hu, now we're not going to go into this, but this is just a fact. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to take man. Let's talk about the Midbar first, and then we'll talk about Tzedek. He's going to feed the Bnei Israel man. There's a reason why he felt they had to eat man, and it's not because they had no other food source. We saw them when they wanted meat, Hashem got the meat. Man. 40 years in the desert, it was important that the Bnei Israel should eat something which angels eat. Because you are what you eat. So Hashem wanted them to eat man, so they should become angelic. Perfect. Okay, you know, one thing after another. But there's a problem. Physical people can't eat non-physical food. Because physical people... You know, I'll give you an example. You know one of the ways that someone was cruelly put to death? One of the ways that someone was cruelly put to death in the days of the middle... You know, they take grains, rice was a choice, and they fill up his stomach with grains and keep feeding him regular dry grains. Barley, rice.
And then it expands.
And then they pour liquid down his throat, and he would die.
Because his stomach would explode.
We can't eat things that have no limits. We would explode, we plots. Another example? The Assyrian army surrounded Yerushalayim. They were starving them out. There was no way they were going to break out. Hizkiah was the king at the time, Hizkiah Melech, he went to sleep. What are you going to do? You're going to die. You're going to die, we'll all die. There's nothing you can do. He wakes up in the morning, he looks outside, all the Assyrians are dead. The Medrash says, what happened? Malachim is singing Shira all the time. But the people can't hear it. Because Malachim opened up the ears of the Assyrians, that's what the Medrash says. And they heard the Shira and they dropped dead. Why they dropped dead? What do you think?
They were physical people.
Right. And they plotted. They exploded.
So
you can't take...
So
Hashem
like
has decided... Right. A Shemitz, well, by Masa Venishma they all died. Hashem decided that the Jews have to eat man.
We did this.
They have to become angels. They can't eat man. They're going to die. So there has to be a process that takes something which is unlimited and makes it limited. And when they eat it, it's not going to explode on the inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bridge goes both ways. That means you're taking something without limit and you're giving it limits. When you grind wheat, you get something very big. You can't make a cake with wheat, it's too big. You try to make a cake with wheat, cut in a cup of wheat instead of the cake will flop. So you're grinding it because that's the way of breaking it down to small parts so that you can do something with it. Because Baruch wants to take something from the Lamas Al Yainim, from the world, the spiritual world. And right now we're talking about that aspect of him that there's no limits, and he wants it to come into this world, the world of limits, it has to be broken down. That's the grindstone. So in the heaven called Shpakim, that's where it takes place. Now people in Olam Hazeh, that their life is Olam Hazedic a life, that means their values are values of Olam Hazeh. They live in this world, they view themselves as denizens of this world, they lead their life as if they're in this world. They don't look towards the next world. They eat physical food, but tzaddikim aren't like that. Tzaddikim don't walk among us. Tzaddikim live in Olam Haba. We know that. A tzaddik is not someone that he's mamish, that was a long spin esri, he knows shas. A tzaddik is someone that he lives in Olam Haba, even though he's in this world. So when they eat, Hashem gives them, their food comes from another world. There's no natural, they don't get their sustenance in a natural manner. They get it miraculously. And in order to do that, it has to be broken down. That's the kind of market you get. Let's get to Agamar. Agamar talks about Mashiach. So Mashiach grinds. Mashiach grinds mitzvahs. Mashiach has Yisurim. Mashiach grinds mitzvahs. Mashiach grinds Yisurim. The first thing I wanted to tell you, you know, because of certain sects, there's a very, very big emphasis on a person called Mashiach. This is, throughout all the generations, we've suffered from this. The time of Shabtai Tzvi, he said he's Mashiach. He wasn't the only one that did it. He was maybe the most famous one, he wasn't the only one that did it. We've always suffered from an emphasis being placed on one person being Mashiach. And we suffered because there's two parts of that we suffered from. Number one, then there's tremendous focus being placed on one person to the exception of everyone else. And you can take that one step further and you can attribute godliness to him, which is what happened by Shabtai Tzvi. That's what happened. And there was a tremendous loss of life and deed in the town of Shabtai Tzvi. We all know what happened to him. He converted and became a Muslim. Shabtai Tzvi. And then there's a flip side to that, which is just as damaging. When you stress that one person is Mashiach, that means nobody else is Mashiach. And this is not true. Mashiach is a person, it's true. I'll give you an example. We said Hanani, Mishael, Vazaya, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But they're not Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Their name is not Avram. And we say the Klai Yisrael has three midos. Rachmanim, they're compassionate, Vaishanim, they're Vaishan, they're bashful. And Gemma Chassadim, they're kind. And the Gemara says that if you have an individual, but he doesn't have these three midos, be a doer that he's not from Klal Yisrael. Somewhere up there is a guy there. And the Mefarshim say that, you know, I'm saying this is a Kiddush, nice of it. The Mefarshim say this. The Mashiach had to come from Amnon Meir. From Gai. Ruth. Why? Because in order to be a king, you have to have a certain midah, which is called cruelty. You have to, Adkan, this is it. Din, midas are din. And there's no cruelty by the Jews. You hear the Kiddush? There's no cruelty by the Jews. So Mashiach has to come from Amnon Meir. And that cruelty has to be used for a good purpose. Because it couldn't be, if I was here, think about that for a moment. Sheikh had to come from Arab. They're cruel. They wouldn't give the Jews water in the desert. They're cruel. There's no cruelty among the Jews. So, I think, you know, this is something which we all have a bit, we're familiar with this, that there's Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov inside of every single Jew. And I'll add to this, there's a Mashiach inside of every Jew. The purpose of Mashiach, this is his purpose. The purpose of Mashiach is to take every single spark of goodness, wherever it is, no matter how, you know, because even in a Russia, a Jewish Russia has a spark of goodness. A low person, an uneducated person, someone that doesn't learn Torah, find that spark and kindle it. Fan it. Then you could burn down a whole forest for one cigarette butt. You gotta take a fan and fan it, and it'll catch on. And that's what Mashiach does, and bring everything back. That's Mashiach's job. Mashiach's job is no Jew will be left behind. And not only that, no part of any Jew will be left behind. Tshuva, it sounds like tshuva? Yes, it is tshuva. So that's something that's only one person? You know? Every Jew has Mashiach. Every Jew, there is a person called Mashiach, and Mashiach is going to help us. But you know what Mashiach is going to do? His job is to help us be Mashiach. That's all. That's all it is. And that's why we don't worship him. We don't bow down to him. Because he's someone that helps us be Mashiach. Yeah, Ellie likes talking about how worthless our generation is. It's one of his favorite things. And you're very, very wrong, Ellie.
I'm wrong?
You're very wrong. You are a noob and you're going to be pwned. And it's Gemara. Okay. So that's the thing.
What does he say? What does Gemara say?
That's the thing. You're right. In the times of Avraham Avinu, in the times of Reb Chanina, Reb Papa, in the times of Tanaim and Amorayim, when they did a mitzvah, they did the whole mitzvah. And they did it completely. And they knew the halacha, and they didn't leave out any of the details of the halacha. It was done, l'chatchila, nobody averaged, with all the, you know, and they didn't need chumras because chumras are for people that don't know, you realize that? They didn't need chumras. Someone once told me that the briskers nowadays would never drink and make kiddush on the Chofetz Chaim Becher. Kiddush Becher.
What?
It was so small, the briskers, they would never do it.
On whose?
Chofetz Chaim's kiddush cup. It wasn't the Chazanish's here. It was very small. The Chofetz Chaim didn't need a big Becher. He knew the halacha. If you don't know the halacha and you want to be a Shemayim, you want to, you know.